Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to another episode of We're Not Fucking Historians. I am Shane Todd.
I'm Hazel Hayes.
If you've listened to the podcast before, you will know that we go through Irish history with a little bit of a fun element to it.
Yeah, it's not like a fine tooth comb. I'd say it's one of those, you know, those combs with the, like, the really wide gaps between each prong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a bit of fun. And look, we enjoy telling each other these interesting stories from Irish history.
I've been enjoying learning about stuff.
Like, same.
Genuinely.
And here's the thing. We do our best.
We do our absolute best, Shane. And sure, that's all you can do.
That's all you can do. Well, you could do more. You know, there could, it could be a 100% accurate thing, but we actually do try. Like, some people might say, oh, you guys think you're cool, you leave out some like dates and some facts, you pretend to get it wrong. No, we genuinely are trying our best.
Yeah.
I've got a big one for you this time.
Have you indeed?
A big look, some people, do you know what this is the equivalent of? Sometimes we'll do like the big Irish history subjects.
Okay.
And that's like going to see you two. That's like going to see the Rolling Stones.
Okay.
But sometimes what I'll do is I'll say, what about this band? And it's a band you've never heard of and they go on to be massive.
Gotcha.
This is a story from Irish history that's not that well known, which gives me a bit of room to
It's
not
like
get
a little indie
right.
film.
It's
and
an your
mate's
film.
Like, you should watch this little indie film. And you're like, I've never fucking heard of that. And they're like, no, give it a go. And you do. And actually, it's great.
And then it gets huge, like Donnie Darko.
And then you're pissed off because everyone knows about the little indie film that you thought was special for
yes.
you.
Yes. Let's record this episode but not release it.
Yeah.
The sacking of Baltimore.
I have heard of that.
Damn it. I was really relying on you not having heard it.
So sorry. But I don't know anything about it.
I do.
Great.
And I've never been more confident talking about a historical subject.
I'm so excited. I'm going to settle in here now. I've got a cup of tea.
Let me tell you, the sacking of Baltimore is this. Most people in a small village in Ireland were captured by Algerian pirates and taken into slavery in North Africa.
When? I don't need the time of day.
1631, 20th of June, 2 a.m. An entire village. There was this village, right, on the coast of Ireland.
Was it called Baltimore?
Cork. Called Baltimore.
Yep.
And it was just, everyone was in it one day. So if you had a gone
no
there,
one was out.
Everybody's running about, doing whatever they did back then in the 1600s, flying kites, drinking mead.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is. What is mead?
Mead is kind of beer, I think.
Exactly. But if you'd have gone back there the day, if you'd have gone back there the day after this happened, nothing. Here, this is a sort of subject and a topic that people don't know a lot about. But apparently in the 17th century, like around that time, there was a million people taken from Britain and Ireland by pirates and sold into slavery in North Africa in places that today would be like Algeria, Tunisia, places like that. I thought I had
you
way
thought,
more,
you
but I
had
two.
Had more, you just had those two. I'm genuinely shocked. I did not know this. Also, at that time, that many people is a huge proportion of the population.
Well, I'm going to set this up. Here's what's different about Baltimore.
Okay.
It is a little Irish village right on the coast in Cork, but it was mainly English settlers.
Ah, well.
Who were there?
Who gives a shit then? We need to stop being so bad to British people. Honestly, they're not going to listen to this podcast.
Well, what I, because I live in Northern Ireland, I've been subtly like re-recording extra stuff and putting it in, you know, to like, to be like, listen, Hazel's really out of order there. I distance myself from those comments.
A little editorial on each ep.
But this was a village that was right on the coast, was in a bay, and it was a lot of English settlers with some Irish people living there. Sleepy village with just fishermen, people keeping themselves to themselves. The majority of the village is women and children, and not much is happening there. They live in cottages. They moved there in like at the start of the 17th century. There's been a settlement here for about 25 years. Not a lot's going on, but they're established. Then one night, pirates come ashore. And you're probably thinking pirates from Europe. No, pirates from the Barbary Coast.
That's a long way to go.
It's a long way to go, but this is what was happening at the time. Let me set the scene in the 17th century. Pirates are stalking the coast of Ireland and Britain. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to round up as many people as they can, take them back to North Africa and sell them on. This particular force of pirates, they're made up of Algerians, of Turks, and then some Europeans, like some Dutch guys are getting involved as well. The leader of this group, if you want to call them that, like the main pirate, he's called, it rhymes with Borat, I think it's Morat. That's how I remembered it when I was doing the research. He's called Morat. He's like a knockoff counterfeit version of Borat.
I like it.
Like he's bought a Borat outfit on Amazon and it's nearly Borat, but it's not quite there, and he gets all the sayings wrong. Great victory, you know what I mean? And people are like, I think it's great success. Like,
my husband.
He's like, have you ever been to Times Square in New York and you see Spider-Man
Elmo.
And you're like, why Spider-Man smoking a fag?
They're always so threadbare and ratty. One of those Elmos hugged me once.
Oh, no.
It was fucking disgusting. I had to wash afterwards.
I thought, like Wonder Woman got herself in a photo with me. She's like, take a photo with me. And then I did it. And then she was like, That's got to be $5, $10. I thought they did it for the passion. I thought those were just cosplay enthusiasts. Right. These guys I'm talking about, these pirates, you know what they're enthusiastic about?
Piracy.
Yeah. And I'm not talking about dodgy videos.
You're not talking about that thing at the beginning of all VHS tapes. Do you remember
that? Was that just like an Irish thing or was that a UK-wide thing? How scary was that?
Absolutely terrifying.
Because let me just say, this was like mid-late 90s. At that point, every film I saw was a pirate film.
Piracy is a crime.
Yeah.
If you do it, you will be caught and you will be killed.
Yeah, like you're funding terrorists and all
Jesus
this kind of thing.
Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah. Just borrowed fucking Top Gun off me, mate.
I sat the whole way through flubber shaking.
I wasn't because of the fucking announcement.
It was just excitement. Robin Williams was at his peak.
He really was.
So I've set the scene. We've got a quiet fishing village.
These are some serious pirates.
These pirates. Yeah. And what they would do is there was 280 men on board.
Yeah.
That is a big force.
Yeah.
And they were skilled operators.
Skilled operators.
Which was one of the sea shanties that they would have sung.
Yeah, they love shanty. They fans. Fucking love shanty.
So it's June 1631. And they're roaming Europe to capture Christians and sell them. What we've also got here is a little bit of a holy war as well between Christians and Muslims, which is the first and last time that this would ever happen.
Yeah.
This is a force that has captured a few small fishing boats, these pirates. What they would do is they would get a small fishing boat. They would say, take us to where there's going to be a lot of people. They capture a guy called John Hackett.
John.
He is a major grass, and he basically says, I'll take you to these guys.
Oh, fuck John. I had
Baltimore
a bit of sympathy for him there. But
in exchange for his freedom. But here's what I think he was offering more stuff. You know? I think he'd be like, look, I know there's some good fish. You know, we'll catch you some nice fish. Mm-hmm. I think he was like,
see the sights?
Yeah. He goes like, there's this pub, but, you know, that's more of a touristy place.
I'll take you to the real boozer.
You know, the pints are a bit better. He goes, the pints come from a bit further away.
Yeah,
in Ireland, because that's a myth I always heard, like in Dublin the Guinness isn't brilliant because it comes from Dublin, but in Donegal it's the best because it settles a wee bit by the
time
it gets.
That's the weirdest fucking shit I've ever heard.
I believe it. The
Guinness Brewery is in Dublin.
Yeah, St James Gate.
Oh, so you wanted to travel so it settles?
Yeah.
We'll look into that for the next episode.
Okay.
We won't. Just know if you're listening, whenever we say we'll look into something, that's the last you'll ever hear of it.
So Hackett grasses, but then again, he grasses on his own people. But then again, if we were captured by North African pirates.
Yeah, I'd probably fucking grass, yeah.
Oh, so quickly.
200 and how many?
280.
blokes?
Yeah.
With swords and shit?
Yep.
Yeah, I'd probably tell them where people were.
So what the pirates used to do is they were sneaky, right? Shocker. And they used to fly like friendly flags and they used to wear European outfits. You know, they're like, we're just some European guys.
It just occurred to me, actually. Like, what was ever stopping anyone from doing it? Why fly a pirate flag? Like, there's no rules. Why didn't all of them just not put up the big scary black flag with the skull and crossbones on it?
Yeah, like put the eye patches in the back pocket.
Put up a little Swiss flag or something.
Yeah. Yeah, or lovely. Just a smiley face emoji.
The yellow one. The yellow one with a smile. Yeah, lovely.
Or just a we're not pirates flag.
Yeah.
But they used to dress as Europeans. They were cheeky bastards. And yeah, they were led by Morat.
So
they get to, they plan this attack.
Yeah.
It's 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning, which can I just say is a rude time for a pirate raid. Are pirates rude? Is it just me or are pirates historically rude?
I would say yes, but does rudeness not imply that like you're not expecting it? They're fucking pirates. Like they're doing what they do. I don't think you get to really question what they're doing.
Yeah, 2 a.m. though, like that's...
2 a.m. is...
To sack a city?
Inconvenient.
Yeah, to sack a city or a village or a town is disrespectful anyway. But at 2 a.m., you don't want that in your jammies on a Sunday night.
And you've got everything ready for the week ahead. All the shirts are ironed in the cupboard. Shit's ready for the kids for the morning.
Yep. You've had a bath.
You've done all that. If you'd known, you wouldn't have spent your last day ironing all the fucking shirts.
No, not at all.
Yeah, do you know what? Rude.
So what they do is they go up to all the cottages. 2 a.m., nobody's there. All these cottages had thatch roofs.
Yeah.
9 pirates to each house.
Lit them on fire, didn't they?
Lit them on fire. You're going to come out coughing. Yeah. You're confused.
Yeah.
And they round up. They got about 150 people.
150 spluttering people in their pajamas.
Yeah.
That's awful.
The men are they take them onto the ship. So the men are taken onto the ships. They're beaten. The women and kids, I wouldn't say it's like a better experience, but they were offered showers and curtains for privacy and the freedom of the lower decks, which sounds great if I were to say to you, you have the freedom of the lower decks, but it's like, I'm taking you to North Africa to sell you as a slave, but you can walk about a little bit more while you're on the boat. And people would have like heard about this, like this would have been a fear for people that lived on the coast anywhere in Europe. This was happening all over the place.
I don't know why anyone continued to live on the coast at any point in history.
Exactly.
All we have heard about is villages and monasteries being fucking ransacked by people on the coast.
Yeah.
Surely stop doing that. Surely just move to Louth. Why was the population of Louth not just the majority of the population in Ireland?
You know it's so bad, right? They take the whole village, these pirates, and these pirates are all about chaos. They create loads of noise when they're there. They're shouting stuff. They're very anti-Christian as well, and they just take people in the night, and they say right down to the cradle, which gives you an idea of the age range of people they were taking. So like nobody's safe, and this was a community of mainly women and children. Of every 5 residents, 4 of them were women and children. Can I just say, that's a good stat. That's a good stat. Nobody expected stats. We've recorded a few episodes by now. I just brought you a stat. 4 out of 5 people in that community were women and children. Okay. That's a stat.
That's wonderful, Shane. Well done.
Okay,
that's
cheers.
A great stat.
I know.
We should get a jingle for the stats.
Yeah. I'm the stat man.
Stat man. Or stats on stats.
So, no.
Yeah.
This isn't funny what happens, okay?
Okay.
So it's obviously a massive inconvenience to be taken by these pirates.
A massive inconvenience.
Yeah, and it's something you wouldn't be pleased about.
No.
But of the like roughly like 150 people that they took, they sent 2 people back off the boat.
Oh my God. For what? For just acting up? They'd won too many of those little whiskies
on board. If you acted up or tried to resist, they killed you there and then, and that sent a message to everyone else.
What did those people do?
But there was 2 people that might have been, I mean, that's what I want to know. What did these people, how bad were the personalities of these people that they went, you know what, we're going to be at sea with you for a couple of months, you can do one. But like, because it kind of is a walk of shame a bit. You know what I mean? Like you'd be walking past the people that are going on.
Like on one hand, absolutely, obviously delighted to be getting away with your life.
But so self-conscious after that.
Wondering why they didn't want you.
Like they didn't even kill them. They just went,
they didn't even kill
please
them.
Please just don't be here. anymore.
If you could just not.
Yeah.
If you could just go back, just let's just say we never even met you.
I think the people that they sent back were people that always like went up at the end of a sentence. So well, maybe
it's Cork, so they all did, babe.
Maybe they got on and they said, like, okay, we're on a boat, but like roughly how long is it going to take to get to Algiers in Algeria? They were like, no, you've got to pass. You got to leave.
Maybe they were just like really quite whiny about the facilities.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe they were like, I was like expecting
here's better. Here's your privacy curtains. And they're like, okay, but what's going on with this pattern?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Locals, obviously, once word got around that this had happened, like during the night from like other villages and people that were on the outskirts of the village, they go to nearby ships and try and go after the pirates, but it's futile. They also lobby the brilliantly named Captain Hook, who's just this guy from around the place.
Captain Hook?
Yep. He genuinely was called Captain Hook. But he must be like a general or he's something.
He's just a bloke.
He's just a guy.
Okay.
Called Captain Hook.
And they're like, can we get people back?
I don't know his title, but he's the main boat guy.
The main boat guy.
Which probably was his title.
Chief boat lad.
Chief boatman. And he just basically says, you're grand. They go, Captain Hook, go after, because they've got all our people. Yeah, go after them, bring them back. He's like, you're grand. And he said he didn't have enough rations and he was owed 10 months pay. So,
God.
He's like, sort me out and maybe we'll see what happens. Hook arrives a couple of days later. He gets down to Baltimore. He's like, let me see what I can do. He gets down there. Shocker. The pirates are long gone. And he's like, I did all I could.
He's like fucking Columbo.
So they just got it. They
were in the trench coat 5 days later.
Yeah, with his wee lollipop.
Yeah, lollipop and a notebook.
Yeah. What would he have had instead of a lollipop back then? A stick with just some syrup on the end.
Did Columbo have a lollipop?
Yeah.
He had a cigar.
Oh yeah, maybe he did. I'm saying Terry Tibbs from Phone Checker.
Who the fuck is Terry Tibbs?
So they want this guy Hook to be the saviour. Captain Hook genuinely was his name. They want him to be the saviour. He says, no, I've no grub for the boys and I'm skint. You just need to hook me up with some money. By the time they do, everyone's away. Now, here's where the politics and the blame game starts, and I'm about to tell you what happened to the people of Baltimore. We'll be back after these messages. Unlike the people of Baltimore.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Clash of the Titles is the podcast where two movies with something in common go head-to-head in a fight to the death as we decide which film does it better. And for the whole of January and February, we're taking film suggestions from you, our listeners.
But he said to me, I was putting on, and because we've done the Social Network, and he's like, why are you doing all these good films? And I said, oh, well, you know. And then I had to admit that other people pick them, not us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Join me, Alex Zane, with Chris Tilley and Vicky Crompton every Monday and Thursday. Search Clash of the Titles wherever you get your pods.
If you were a resident of Baltimore, a very sleepy village off the coast of Cork, you've been taken from your home and you're now on a ship that's heading for North Africa. Mm-hmm. You're confused, your house was set on fire, you don't know what's going on, but this is something that you've heard about. This is something that they would have talked about in churches. It was always something hanging over you. This could happen to you someday. So the people of Baltimore, they know they're going to hell. They've heard these tales, and when they get to Algeria, to make matters worse, it's the warmest month of the year. Humidity, it's sticky. I'm going to say conditions over there weren't great, but when they get there, it is baking.
It's like when you get off the plane on your holiday,
the heat just hits you,
and you've worn a jumper because the plane was a bit cold. But yeah. Then,
I mean, a lot of these guys are arriving in PJs because that's what they were wearing when they got taken. I mean, if my dad was taken, he would have arrived in Algiers bollock naked. Because that's just the way.
A lot of people do sleep naked. Maybe they had a lot of that.
In like the late 80s, whenever I was a baby, our car got stolen, like my dad's car got stolen. Oh. And he went to chase, because he heard them driving away, and he went to chase the people that stole the car, but he didn't put any clothes, he sleeps naked, so he just ran naked up the street to chase a car, and the car crashed. But the people got away, but they crashed because in the rearview mirror there was just a naked Northern Ireland man chasing them.
I also have a good late night naked story if you want it.
Hit me with it.
So at one point, with a boyfriend, I'm just going to say a boyfriend rather than name the person. So I'm asleep with my boyfriend and he sleeps naked, and my housemate returns from a trip really late at night and we're not expecting her back.
Yeah.
She bangs in the door. We're not sure to this day why she was so fucking loud, but she bangs in the door and clatches in. You hear the heel clack, clack, clack. And he leaps out of the bed and sort of takes up this kind of Spider-Man stance on the bed. You know, that sort of like crouched knees up posture.
Yeah.
Completely naked, and goes to bolt towards the door. And I just, like, in my sleep, this is all happening in the space of about half a second, I just leap up and put an arm out and go, no, it's just dirty. It's okay. It's just dirty. And he sort of looks at me like kind of like an animal. And he says, it's a burglar. I said, burglars don't wear heels.
Yeah.
And he went back to bed. And the next morning I thought about it and I thought, had I not put my hand out, my poor fucking housemate would have just had him tearing out at her, wang out and all.
She would have just had a naked guy just trying to flick webs out of his wrist.
Flicky web thing. Yeah. He was so like, it was quite astounding. It's kind of mad how men react to noises in the middle of the night.
Well, imagine if you're one of the residents of Baltimore.
That's what I say. Did none of the men sort of leap out of bed, like wang out and just go?
So they tried.
The pirates?
So all the money was in taking slaves. And if you were a mate on, not a mate as in like, let's go for a pint, but if you were a mate on, oh, I'm sure these sailors did.
Yeah.
If you were a mate on this ship, you were getting a share of the commission. It was all very regulated.
Mm.
So the goal was to, there would have been fight back, but the goal was to not kill people. But if they had to, they dismembered them really badly.
Okay.
So the conditions sailing over were so bad. Like all these Irish people crammed into single rooms, you know, dark rooms in underneath the ship. They were crammed into these small spaces. Ooh. It was like Ryanair, but without the paninis.
God. Gotcha.
You know, so like not ideal
comparable,
travel.
Though.
Comparable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the end, when they got there, it went da 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 da. And everybody applauded. Yeah. Everybody applauded.
Those paninis are shit anyway.
Picked up their, you know, their vodka and their aftershave and that sort of thing. Look, everybody survives, which is mad because conditions were so bad. It must have been treacherous.
I can't believe they all survived.
When you arrive, you do a quarantine. They were in quarantine back then. You're quarantined in case you have like cholera or TB or something like
wow.
that. And then you're kind of sold at like at an auction. There's different ways that you can, different avenues that you can go down, but it's all slavery of some sort. But here's the thing, this is like a weird thing, but when you arrive in Algiers, and this was common for slaves that were taken, when you arrive, you can request funds from home to pay for your release. So you can put in a call back home and go, listen, sort me out, do a transfer here.
That's quite... Surely you would do that at the dock though, right? Rather than take them all the fucking way to Africa and back. Like, surely you just say, listen, before we go anywhere, do you want to ring anyone? Just see if they've got a couple quid on them.
They have a few 52 tens to pass around. Listen, ring home there.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have needed to get hooked. Just a cousin from across the way in Kerry could have come over with a few bob.
An envelope.
Yeah.
Here's the thing though, they couldn't take that option because the English government have just at this point introduced a new policy where they don't pay ransoms. They won't tolerate it. How gutted would you be if you arrived on the week where they stopped doing that? So like you're going over in bad conditions, but in the back of your head you're like, listen, I've got a rich uncle. It's all good. I'll take my time going home. I'll maybe go via Spain, Morocco, somewhere like that. But what happens is when you arrive, you're paraded at a market, you're sold at auction. If you're a strong man, you're going to be a labourer, you might work in a quarry. But women sold for 50% more than what men did. And there was a document of, if you want to know what the going price was, there was a lady called Elizabeth Alwyn, who's from London. She was one of the English settlers, and she sold for, do you want to guess how many dollars? I don't know what the inflation rate back at $356. Yeah.
Jesus, that's a lot.
That's a lot. Let me just say, some of these people didn't have bad fates, although that's a terrible thing to happen. A lot of these people...
I guess what, you hope you end up with a nice family somewhere, just sort of...
And that happened. That happened for a lot of people.
Were any of them okay?
Yeah, like some kids would have been like sold to wealthy families and raised... they would have been like raised Muslim. They would have become part of the fabric of like a new North Africa.
Oh, okay.
But they would have been like, if you were like a teenager, you had a good chance of like going with a really good family. And a lot of these people though ended up being pirates. A lot of these slaves lived in like a ghetto, like a slave ghetto. People from all different nationalities, and they had their own language just because there was so many different nationalities. But if you were, like, booze wasn't allowed in Algiers, like the pirates...
Like a Christy Moore gig.
Yeah. Like the pirates are all like... Here's the thing. Pirates were acting the big lad because they're all like, oh, we love rum and we're on the high seas and we're having a session. In Algiers back then, they didn't even sell booze.
It's really funny because these days, rum is not the masculine drink that they made it out to be.
Yeah.
A rum and coke is very, very much a feminine drink. And you're not to say there's anything wrong with that, but like the idea of these big burly lads just like raping and killing and drinking rum is a little bit funny.
With a pinky up.
A little pinky up. It's like a little pina colada or something. You know, it's just quite, I just think it's quite soft.
So you could actually have made good money as a slave selling booze on the side in these ghettos.
Yeah, fair.
This was a big thing that happened. So it's like, it was obviously so terrible that they got taken from this village on this slave ship, but actually not everybody who went there would have had a bad life.
Mm-hmm.
Slavery was so like rampant back then, especially if you live by the coast, there was always the danger of it happening.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of kids grew up to have like far more luxurious lives than they would have had.
In that. Yeah, yeah, they weren't always like horrible faces, but still pretty.
And some people returned. Some people returned.
Did they come back?
Yep, some people returned.
They came back to those two people in Baltimore.
Yeah, they came back and they were like, okay, here we go, call into the pub. It's been a while. You know, you open the door and there's just nothing. Like the pumps are away, the kegs are gone. There's just a packet of scampi fries and some bottles of Tennent's.
I wonder, did they leave those two people just to sort of fuck with them? Just so people would be like, why did they spare you?
You'd be suspicious always of them.
You would be suspicious of them always. And maybe that's why they did it, just to fuck.
Yeah,
that, I would do that.
Yeah,
like not
Yeah, do you think they were trying to talk their way back on?
By the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. Why? Why won't you have us?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a bit like, I don't want to go to that party anyway, but it would have been nice to be invited. You know what I mean? Well, no, I don't want to come now.
But crazy that some people returned, and eventually what the like English crown did was they sent a guy over with a big ship and a load of money, and they just started freeing all of their slaves and took them back.
Nice.
So some people did return, but a lot just would have...
I'd say a lot were converted at that point. A lot of people. Now. Particularly kids who grew up there would be like, this is my home.
Yeah, a lot of people would have converted, and Baltimore just became this eerie... deserted fishing village, which probably smelled terrible.
To this day.
Well, no, it's bustling, and there is a lot to do.
Such as
not a lot, but there's
some things.
There's people there. You're not going to believe this, but the people that stayed in, like the residents that survived, they moved inland and moved to Skibbereen, which is smart.
I like Skibbereen. I've been there.
Yeah. What is there to do in Skibbereen?
All sorts.
So if they moved to Skibbereen,
yeah.
You know, say I was a resident of Baltimore, yeah. but I was away on a holiday.
Yeah.
Return back. There's nobody there. I moved to Skibbereen.
Yeah.
You're in Skibbereen. I say, Hazel, what is there to do?
Loads.
Great. I think I would have talked my way back onto the ship. I think I would have got a dinghy and tried to catch up with them. So John Hackett, who was the original Grass, the guy who led the pirates to Baltimore. Well, this story has a good ending because my man John was hung from a cliff when people found out what he did. No, what, do you feel bad for John?
No, I just, when you said it had a good ending, it's just more dead Irish people, isn't
John
it?
John fucked everyone, though.
But we agreed at the top of the podcast that we both would have done the same.
Yeah, so. Fair. Do you know one of the weirdest things about, I mean, because this is a story that people don't really know a lot about. There's some great stats and facts in there. But probably the weirdest thing about the story is this. So Finn, who works on the show, sent me a link to something before this.
Yeah.
And he goes, you might want to check this out. You know the band The Darkness? I believe it'd be cool.
Yeah, Justin, what's his face? Yeah.
Justin Hawkins.
Yeah.
They did a song about the sacking of Baltimore.
What's it called?
Roaring Waters, the song's called.
Roaring Waters. We just had it in our ears.
Roaring Waters.
Roaring Waters.
Don't have the song in your ears because that's crap. I actually like The Darkness, but that is not a good one. Guys, sort it out.
The Darkness.
Should we get, because we always talk about who would play roles in a film, if we remade a film version of this?
Yes. I would like Justin to play Hook.
Yeah, because he's got a pirate look. I think he has a mad,
he's a very Jesus look about him, hasn't he?
Yeah. John Hackett, who was the original Grass, as I like to call him. I could see Ian Gillan in that role.
Yes, love it.
I could see Cillian Murphy in that role if he wanted it. Like, he's not my natural pick for it, but if he was willing to work hard.
I like Cillian. I saw Cillian on a flight to Dublin one time. So two things about Cillian Murphy. And we're way over time, but I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah.
One, I saw him at the Harry Potter place.
Hogwarts?
In wherever, you know, the Harry Potter world or whatever the fuck you call it. So I went up to him like a gobshite and was like, love your work. And he did not want to talk to me, which is so fair and correct. And I don't do that anymore.
You'll have the last laugh because the next time you see him, you go up to him and say, listen, I've got the role for
I've
you.
I've got the role of a
He goes, what's
time?
The story? We say, we're not 100% sure.
Hard to say.
It's hard to say.
And the next time I saw Cillian, I was on a flight to Dublin and he was all bundled up in the front seat. Like,
what, flying it?
No, like, you know, the front
sure
row.
This wasn't a movie?
The row that gets its own baggage bin.
Yeah.
And he was very unshaven and unkempt and he had a big parka jacket and his hood up the whole time. And he just looked he looked like a fugitive. He looked like a fugitive. And I then...
Like a cat that had been in the cold? All wrapped up?
Yeah, all kind of wrapped up. And then he got off and he went to get in the taxi queue. And same shit. I came upon him again in the queue and he was all wrapped up like a little fugitive. And I thought, that's odd, Cillian. Sure, aren't you coming home? Maybe he was afraid of getting recognized.
We'll ask him when we're shooting.
Absolutely. No, I'm going to ask him what the crack was with that.
I think it would make a good film. I think it's a good story. And... unfortunately, piracy is still a very big thing in Ireland.
Absolutely.
Because my dad knows a guy can get you any movie on DVD for a quid.
Yeah. Were you hoping for a big laugh on that one? Or?
I think I got it. I think the listeners gave me it. With hindsight, I think we got it. Look, the sacking of Baltimore is an interesting story to me. It's a little bit of Irish history that I find fascinating. I hope I've got some points across.
I'm so happy you're happy.
I'm happy.
Great. That was excellent. I didn't know any of that. Thank you so much for teaching me.
And if anybody has any more to add to the story or take away, you might go, this bit didn't happen, so you want to take that away.
You can take bits out.
Join
as well.
The discussion.
Absolutely. If you had a relative, in fact, in any episode, if you have any connection to any of these events, I want to hear about it.
Yeah, or a connection to Justin Hawkins from The Darkness.
Indeed, indeed.
Twitter hashtag is WNFH. We're not fucking historians.
Yeah. We also have email now.
hello@nothistorians.com. So good. You can get involved. If you want to rate and review the podcast, subscribe.
Yes.
Do all those. Remember, if you had to subscribe to someone back in the day, you'd fill something in, send it a letter away, to like do a magazine or something. You want to subscribe to this? Just click that button.
Click a button.
Click that button. Just it's as easy as that.
Bash that button.
Yeah. Not too hard.
No.
But hit it. Hazel, you're on all the social medias.
I'm all the things at the Hazel Hayes. Shane, you are as well.
At Shane Todd. That might not be it exactly,
oh my
but
God.
Just type in Shane Todd.
I need you to fix that for next time.
No, don't know how to. Okay. Thanks very much for listening. Remember, it's very, very important you remember, we're not fucking historians.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.